He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the 73rd hole. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams with you. It is time. The playoffs are here. Last night, we had Damian Lillard and LeBron James. Tomorrow, we will have Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. A little different, but it's playoff season, Taylor.
It is playoffs. We're getting playoffs all over the sports world. We had mentioned it a few months ago when playoffs. All this started. Playoffs? What was that? Playoffs?
Not a game. Playoffs?
We're just trying to win a game, exactly. That's one of the best lines ever. But, you know, a few months ago when all these sports shut down, we had talked about there might be this little period of sports when it comes up to where we're just jam-packed with everything, and we're finally hit it. We got NBA playoffs started, like you said. We got the FedEx Cup playoffs starting now. U.S. Open coming up in just a few weeks. Looks like they're going to give football a try here in just the next few weeks as well. So for all of us overall sports fans, it's a really great time. But getting back to the golf aspect, this is the first stretch of what is going to be a next great few months of golf.
It's going to be unbelievable. We've got 3 weeks of playoffs. We've got a week off, a U.S. Open. We'll have a bunch of events looking like probably out in California in October as we start the 2020-2021 season. And then into the Masters.
That's what I was going to ask you, Colby. I noticed that, and I don't want to get down too big a rabbit hole before our previous show, but I noticed a lot of the tournaments in between the U.S. Open and the Masters were like the Zozo, the HSBC mm-hmm. Champions, the CJ Cup, which is over in Malaysia, I believe. And so it's like I went and figured that they would travel across the Pacific Ocean, those tournaments. So do you feel like those would get rescheduled to U.S. soil?
Or yeah, they've already actually had a lot of conversations, and reports are that they're looking to move those to places like LA Country Club, Sherwood, places like that.
So complete dumps, basically. Horrible golf courses.
Yeah, just terrible tracks.
Sarcasm. Beautiful courses.
Yeah, they're just looking for somebody to host them, pretty much. Just anywhere. They can have one out at Hefner on a Thursday if they need to. I don't know if Hefner would give them 4 days, actually. Hefner might give them 4 days because Hefner has another course. Or they could do what they do at Torrey. They could play Hefner North, Hefner South, Thursday, Friday, cut. Go play Hefner North on the weekend.
There you go. You got to figure it out right there.
I got to figure it out.
You should be the tour scheduling commissioner.
I really should. If Monahan is listening, give me a call. Hit me up on Twitter, at Colby J. Powell. I don't want to give him my number.
Yeah. And 73rd hole as well. You can contact both of us there as well.
Yes, most definitely. By the way, we should probably hear from Jim Mora here. Let's see if I can get this to play.
And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
That is one of the best coach speaks ever. And that is, if we could have golf coaches talk about their players after they play and we could get some reactions like this, it'd be kind of funny. Kind of like if Koepka's coach had what he would say about this. Playoffs? I'm not playing the playoffs. I'm withdrawing because my knee hurts.
No playoffs for Koepka. Right here it says, due to a lingering knee, hip, and ego injury, world number 7, Brooks Koepka has withdrawn from the 2020 Northern Trust. He was poised to begin the week at number 97 in the FedEx Cup. So this effectively ends Brooks Koepka's 2019-2020 wraparound season. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that he won't play in the U.S. Open or the week before. Doesn't mean that he won't play in the events in California, the Masters. But this season is over. Also, the press release does not read that he has an injured ego. I went ahead and added that in myself. It reads knee and hip. I threw ego in there because it seems like that's hurting a little bit right now for Brooks Koepka as well. But no Koepka over the next 3 weeks. The playoffs will look a little weird without Brooks Koepka.
It will, and you made an interesting point whenever we first saw this news where it was now Koepka can, because you mentioned the ego thing, he can consciously and subconsciously tell himself, I didn't miss the playoffs. I did not make it to the top 70 round because I played bad at the Northern Trust this week. I just was hurt and couldn't play, so I didn't make it. That's why. So I think that's an interesting point that you made because he's, as we've seen, obviously he – played well at, in Memphis and then played fabulous for three rounds at the PGA. But other than that, even going back before then and last week in the final round at Harding Park, it's just been really, really bad golf. And this is really, really not a shock. I'm definitely would be surprised if, for example, you mentioned like this doesn't mean that he won't play the U.S. Open or any of those events going forward. And I mean, he's withdrawing from here. I don't think that he will skip those events. But if you do have a lingering leg and hip injury, you would think that you'd give him major championships a go. But I mean, it's not 100% guarantee that he's going to be back for these events and ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, this would have been his seventh week in a row to play tournament golf. Now, granted, about half of those, he's only played 2 days. So that's good.
That's true. Yeah, a lot less rest. Yeah.
A little less impact on the hip and the knee. It's just, you know, Koepka, more so than just about anybody in the game, really gets hard onto that left side. I mean, Koepka gets up on that left side, and he puts a lot of torque on that left knee, that left hip, and that's the side where he's dealing with injury. So, you know, I do think that he probably is not at 100%. I do think that there's probably a correlation because if you're a guy like Koepka, and you know more about the golf swing than I do, and you know exactly what Koepka's move is, and I'm sure people listening can picture Koepka's swing, he really leans onto that left side through impact. And if he's unable to really do that, or if he's worried about it hurting whenever he does that, it affects your golf swing, it affects your ball striking, and obviously it's had a huge effect on Brooks Koepka's results.
Oh, it has an impact on anyone. It's kind of the opposite of the Caddyshack Judge Smales, where you cut the hamstring and he stays back on the backside and he can't get over and he'll slice and he'll quit the game. And it's opposite in the aspect of your left side hurts so bad that you don't want to put the pressure into it, so you naturally hang back on the right side, which, as we know, anyone who does that, you're going to have either two things happen. Either you're going to hit a really high right and it's not going to go that far, or you're going to flip the hands and hook the hell out of it.
Like you did on 18 at Southwind.
Exactly. Yeah. Nailed it. So those are the commonalities you'll see when you start hanging back, is when you'll he's losing his posture, club getting stuck behind him. Really things that, if you're not fully healthy, it's really just hard to get around it, because if you're trying to swing a driver 120 miles an hour, you have to get to the left side at some point. And you either try to stay on the left side longer to not make the transition as hard on your body, which then causes more problems, because then you lean back more on the downswing because you're not used to being as far on the left. And really, anytime you have an injury like that, it can cause not only problems with your scores we've seen with Koepka, but just overall longevity of the swing. So for someone like Koepka, I don't see this as an extreme cause for concern, just because he's already got four major championships. He's just going to miss three playoff events, which for him, he'd get $15 million, which is great for everyone. But of all the people in the world, he's on the top 0.001% that doesn't need it. So, it'll be fine for him going forward. And I think he kind of, like we talked about with Tiger and some of these other guys, they're focused in on the major championships, like he is almost every single year that he plays, right, no matter what the situation.
He doesn't give a damn about the Northern Trust or the BMW. The Tour Championship, probably, but that's just because there's that big fat $10 million check waiting for the
15
winner.
Now.
If it coincides with the winning of the FedEx Cup. Is it 15 now?
Yeah, I remember last year they went up to 15. I don't know if they took it back down because of the COVID thing, but yeah, last year Rory won
probably right,
15 yeah. mil. Well, I know for a fact it was, because 15 million was the prize in our one and done pool. It was 20%, and the winner got 3 million.
Okay,
so
yeah,
20%
right.
of 3 million is 15. Yeah, so yeah.
So if Tiger and Phil did another match, they could play for 14 million.
Exactly.
Instead of
how big of a joke was that? I mean, my lord, yep. I'm still frustrated, but they should at least done 9.99 million or something. Just something real smart aleck. And it's like you're a big Office fan. The episode where Dwight's doing the auction, and he's like $900 and 1 penny
and 1 penny. Yes, that is a great episode. So speaking of Tiger Woods, in the field this week, Tiger went out and got a practice round in at Wingfoot on Monday with Justin Thomas, which was nice. You know, they just ran over from Massachusetts to New York to play Wingfoot.
I also saw a picture where it looked like Morikawa was staying on a house that was on the facility, and Tiger had walked over, and he was wearing his little face guard mask, yeah, and talking over the fence to Morikawa. And it was kind of, I don't know if this is what he said, but the little caption was, "Welcome to the major championship group." And so I thought that was really cool. able to see. And you saw it with Thomas when Thomas won his PGA championship at Quail Hollow. That's kind of when him and Tiger kind of started being as close as they were. So maybe all it takes is win a major championship to get in Tiger's circle.
Yeah. You know, these young guys come out, they're hot, they're stars. And that was pretty cool to see Tiger with Morikawa. And Tiger seems like he's healthy right now, which is good. Actually, I should have looked at the weather for TPC Boston this week. I'm sure it's probably pretty good, better than what I would imagine it was in San Francisco at TPC Harding Park a couple of weeks ago. So I don't think health will be a big issue for Tiger Woods. One thing, I don't know if you saw this or noticed this, it does look like he's going back to the OG Scotty this week.
I did see that. Yeah, and that goes back to what we were talking about at the end of our PGA recap show, Colby, where he's just searching for something, and I don't know if maybe the PGA was just, he was just tinkering, maybe the greens were a little bit slower than he wanted and wanted to give a little bit more pop. They were talking about how it was a little bit heavier and how he was able to practice with it being a little bit longer with quarter inch extension. I'm so in between on Tiger's putting, and I have not seen enough good iron play from him to think that he has. I think we'll see similar this week for Tiger as we did at the PGA Championship, where he makes the cut but isn't really a factor on the weekend. That's just my suggestion. If for some reason he can put the iron game together, because like you mentioned, he was hitting a lot better drives in the PGA, especially on the last few rounds, or especially on the last day. But with him tinkering on with his putter as much as he is, it's just hard for me to see where he's just... Because like at the first round of the PGA when he made 150 feet of putts or whatever, it's just hard for me to see him being able to do that for 4 days in a row or do somewhat comparable for that for 4 days. I think we'll be more of a Friday. He'll at least have one round where it's like Friday and Saturday where he's just missing everything and making a total of about 30 foot of putts in the round.
Yeah, if you look at TPC Boston, it is a course that really lends itself to strokes gained approaching the green, which could bode well for Tiger, who's still one of the best iron players in the game when healthy. We saw it at East Lake. We saw it at Augusta. We saw it at the Zozo. So the winners at TPC Boston gained close to twice the number of strokes with their irons approaching the greens as they gain strokes off the tee. So the numbers at TPC Boston over the last decade, which has historically been the Deutsche Bank Championship, tell us that approach the green is the number that you want to look at more so than strokes gained off the tee. Pardon me.
Yeah. Which is good,
I think bodes well for Tiger.
Yes, it would, yes. And you'll notice, you go back and you look at some of the guys that have played well here. The last two winners were DeChambeau back in 2018. He was still a big hitter, but he wasn't as long as he was now. And then JT won back in...
He wasn't big Bryson.
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
He was regular Bryson.
Regular Bryson. Still a big hitter, but not nowhere close to who he was now. Justin Thomas won. Go back and look at it. Some of the guys that traditionally play well here are some guys like DJ's played well here, big hitter.
Rory's won here twice.
Rory's won twice. Going back, the last time it was played at TPC Boston was 2018, so I'm going down the list here. Guy finished solo second here, a guy we brought up in our last show, Justin Rose. So it'll be interesting to see how he does because he played well here.
Yeah, and 16, 17, 18 was Rory, JT, and Bryson. Those are big dogs.
Big dogs, yeah. And then, so, look, going down this list here, Finau finished T4 2018. DJ Bubba was T7. Gary Woodland normally has a good record here. It looks like Koepka, not playing this year, but finished 12th.
What about
here,
your boy? So, don't forget your boy.
Who'd I miss?
The 2015 winner at TPC Boston.
Oh, God.
That's your guy. I mean, you already burned him in the one and done, so you can't use him this week, but surely he's in your DraftKings lineup.
He is. If I don't know if I don't think I can ever pick him again, no matter what. And I know I'm going to at some point down the road, and I'm gonna hate myself for it. But going back to the list that you see here, it's a combination of exactly what you said, Colby, where you get your ball strikers, for example. Matsuyama plays really well here, so you get your iron players, and then you got your guys who are the long hitters, which put them in position to be able to hit those approach shots close, because this is a course to where if you're offline or if you're in the rough, you're going to have a tough time hitting close approach shots into these greens.
Yeah, it's definitely going to penalize you. There's no doubt about that. Ricky Fowler won it in 2015, back whenever it was the Deutsche Bank Championship. It's interesting now because they've gone from four playoff events to three, like we talked about. So now the Northern Trust, which is the first playoff event, rotates a few courses through. Last year was Liberty National. Patrick Reed was the winner at Liberty National last year. That's another guy who's been playing pretty well. Sungjae Im has started to come on. So there's definitely some value as we look down the board on DraftKings. Why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. We're going to dive into all of our picks. We've got DraftKings. I've got Best Bets. We've got one and done picks. Do yourself a favor today and give Bushwood a call in Chickasha. Go play some great golf. The weather is supposed to be phenomenal the next few days. Taylor and I are actually going to be out at Oak Tree for the Oklahoma Open, which we are not both playing in. Taylor's playing. I'll be caddying, and the weather is supposed to be absolutely perfect. Friend of the show, Sam Humphreys, I think, is going to be out there. Cody Burrows, obviously, from Chickasha, like the two of us. Robert Streb, Reen Gibson, a lot of guys in the field this week at Oak Tree for the Oklahoma Open. So it's going to be a blast, and you need to play some golf as well. So get down to Bushwood in Chickasha. 405-224-1250. You're not going to find better golfing weather the rest of the year than what we're going to have the next few days. So get out there, 405-224-1250. Make your tee time at Bushwood Golf and Country Club in Chickasha. We take a break, come back on the other side, break down everything that will happen this week at the Northern Trust TPC Boston. Stay with us here on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Rolling along here on the 73rd hole, getting ready for the Northern Trust TPC Boston. Par 71, about 7,300 yards. They have the ability, as they always do, to move tees up, move tees back, make par fours drivable, do things of that nature. Should be a lot of fun. Really excited for the PGA Tour playoffs. Taylor, why don't we do this? Why don't we go ahead and dive into our DraftKings lineups? We'll do all this, and then before we get out of here, we'll take a look at the FedEx Cup point standings. And see who's outside the top 70, who needs to work their way in. So let's go ahead and start with DraftKings, and you can go first, and your choice. You can go cheapest or most expensive, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. That sounds like a plan to me. And before we get started, I'll bring up, because we brought up earlier, what the weather situation would be like. And looks like it's going to be pretty straightforward. Thursday is going to be looks like the wind will switch throughout the week. So Thursday will have a different wind than Friday and Saturday. One thing to note here that we could be looking for, not only for golf previewing but also for viewership, is that it says there's a 50% chance of PM thunderstorms on Sunday. So we might be looking at a Master Sunday situation with Tiger One, where they push the tee times all the way up. Yeah. And if the same result happens, perfect. But we may be looking at something like that. And hopefully we're not stuck with BS coverage to where we can't watch it live, and then we have to watch the replay afterwards. So
hear me out. Hear me out. I would love tee times to be moved up, regardless of coverage. I'll find a stream to watch it. And it's for a very selfish reason. I'm in a two-man best ball match play tournament at the greens, and our match is scheduled for Sunday at 4.
So that would be perfect for you.
I am in on tee times getting moved up on Sunday, because otherwise I'm not going to get to watch the end of the tournament, and that's going to be tough for me.
Yeah, you completely agree, but it would be heartbreaking for yourself.
Especially with Tiger making his way to the winner's circle. Woo!
Yeah, number 83, and you have to miss it. That would be crushing.
I'd have it pulled up on the phone. I might even just withdraw from the tournament altogether.
You would have to.
If 83 is incoming.
There's no other way. All right, so here we go here. So we'll start down the DraftKings hole. We'll go from cheapest to strongest here. And so I'll start off with my cheapest guy, 6,500. I played really well last week. Didn't have the best weekend that he liked. Friend of the show, don't see I can't go with him, 6,500. Give me Taylor Gooch. I think that
right.
What'd he say that he was? 63rd or something like that in the point. So he's right on that line of to where he needs. He doesn't have to play stellar to get into next week, but
he's 62. Yep.
So he still, but he still needs a good finish to make sure that people don't leapfrog him. So I expect Taylor to get to the weekend, especially like you mentioned earlier, how much of importance strokes gain approach to green is, if I can freaking talk today.
You know how many points separate Taylor Gooch at 62 from Sepp Straka at 71?
Is it so? Was this before or after the reset?
This is just total FedEx Cup point. I'm just looking at the FedEx Cup standings.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So
yeah.
So the number of points separating 62 and 71, 42 FedEx Cup points. There's going to be a lot of volatility this week.
There is, yeah. And that's why, because I know that after, because what they do is after the top 125, they give you another certain amount of point settings. You know, like, for example, if you finish first, you have 100. And then, so right. like, it evens it out so that, like, which I don't necessarily agree with, because if Thomas has a 6,000 point lead, he should still keep that if he's won that many times. But nevertheless, so, yep, I gave you my cheapest guy, 6,500. You're up next, Colby.
Yeah, I'm going 6,800 with my cheapest. And I'm like, you know what? Let's go Kevin Na this week. Kevin Na, every now and then he'll pop and win. But even if he doesn't pop and win, I think he's a guy who's going to make the cut. I went with some expensive guys, so I had to get a couple guys in the 6,000s, actually. Kevin Na, over the last 3 months, ranks 15th in approach from 175 to 200 yards. Good ball striker. Good coming in with the mid irons, which I like a lot. He's 14th. Or 14th in birdie or better gained in the previous 24 rounds. He's done... He's hit or miss at TPC Boston. 2017, he finished sixth. 2018, he missed the cut. But good ball striker, good with the irons. So I like Kevin Na, especially at the value I'm getting him at 6,800. At 6,900, I'm going with another iron player, a pure ball striker, Canadian Corey Connors. Give me Canadian Corey Connors. We're up north. We're in Massachusetts. That's basically Canada. So give me Corey Connors with the home field advantage this week in Massachusetts.
I like it. I like your strategy there. Connors has missed two cuts in a row, but before then have been playing pretty well.
Means
with
you
it.
Do.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens generally. And your other pick, Kevin Na, who you talk about hit or miss just for this course. He's been hit or miss really since the return of golf. He's missed a cut the PGA, 35th at St. Jude, finished 9th at the Memorial, missed a cut Rocket Mortgage, finished 5th at the Travelers, then missed the cut at the Charles Schwab. So, I mean, it seems like it's either top 10 or nothing for old Mr. Nall.
Count me in on the volatility. I went with the safe guy last week in Furyk. Bastard missed the cut. I'm out. I'm out on safe plays. Give me volatility this week. I actually do have a lot of volatility in my lineup this week.
So you could either be first by a mile or DFL by a mile.
100%. Yeah, we're just going all in. You ever seen Mad Max Fury Road?
Oh, of course.
That's my DraftKings lineup this week.
That makes sense, yeah. So it's very peaceful and not chaotic whatsoever.
100%, yes.
And so I'll go off here, and I'm gonna make a very strong claim with my next pick, Colby. The guy, I can't believe I'm even saying this with how good he's playing. He's my second cheapest guy, and I'm making the statement he has the most underrated looking swing on the PGA Tour.
You're gonna say Ricky, aren't you?
God. Gosh dang it, Cole. If we had a way to view this, you'd see me flipping you off and throwing a microphone at your
never
face
gonna
for
live
saying
it down.
Such an atrocity.
Never gonna live it down.
No, I mean this guy I'm talking about here, man, he has not finished outside of the top 25 and I can't tell you how long. Give me Harris English.
Oh yeah. Playing good golf. Playing and really good golf. What's he at this week? What's his price?
7,600.
Wow, 7,600, your second cheapest?
Second cheapest, 7,600.
You must have quite a few in the eights.
I got a couple around there, and I got one of my guys is pretty expensive, too. I was able to make it work, and like I said, I'm going back on this, and I'm not saying he's the most underrated ball striker because, for example, everyone will say Ricky has the best-looking putting stroke, but he's not the best putter out there, as we saw he missed the 4-inch putt. So, but I think Harris English, he's had one of my favorite swings for the longest time, and now he's finally able to get his game in gear where he's actually playing some good golf. And I think people are going to start recognizing how technically sound and pure his swing is because it's damn good. It's damn good. And I think he's going to keep it rolling this week. Like I said, I haven't finished outside the top 25 really since, I think, the very first event of the season, since the restart. And then my next cheapest guy, another guy who I'm really surprised I'm able to get at this price, at 7,800, give me Gary Woodland. Hasn't been playing particularly well the last couple of weeks, but he is a horses for courses type of guy here. I believe he doesn't have any necessarily high finishes, but he's always right around the top 25, the top 10. And so for a DraftKings value for someone less than 8,000, go ahead and sign me up for that.
Yeah, speaking of value less than 8,000, I'm going with Sungjae Im at 7,700 for my next pick. Sungjae Im hasn't played this course, so you're kind of guessing on what it's going to come to there. Since the restart, kind of, just faltered for a while. 10th at Colonial right off the bat, but then three missed cuts, three finishes outside the top 50, a 35th. But last week at Sedgefield, it started to come together for Sungjae. The iron swing came back to him. He gained just under 8 strokes tee to green
wow.
on the field at Sedgefield. So I think something for Sungjae clicked. He's such a creature of habit. He likes to play a lot of golf. Clearly something was not right in his game there for about 6 weeks during that middle part since the restart. But I think that I think something really clicked for Sungjae last week. So I'm going to run Sungjae out at 77. Who's my next cheapest guy? We're going all the way up to 88, I believe. Yeah, 8,800 for my next cheapest guy. 8,800 is where he be now, and his name is Tony Finau, and he's playing some good golf. And
man,
even,
for someone who doesn't like Tony Finau, I sure have been picking him a lot.
See, and you're pushing this false narrative that I don't like Tony Finau. I like Tony Finau. He's not going to win the golf tournament. I don't need him to win the golf tournament on DraftKings. I say he's not going to win the golf tournament. We'll get to my best bets here in a few minutes. He's trending the right direction. Eventually, he's going to win.
The Puerto Rico curse will have to be broken at some point, you would think. And it has to be coming. Like I mentioned earlier, he was one of the guys who finished T4 last time a tournament was played here back in 2018 when Bryson won. So he definitely has a good track record here. And yeah, I like Finau this week as well.
Yeah, over the past 3 months, he ranks 7th in DraftKings scoring. Because, you know, it's not all about just high finishes. You got to make birdies. You got to make low numbers. You got to avoid big numbers that take points away on DraftKings. 7th over the last 3 months in DraftKings scorings. Tony Finau, I like him this week. I like him a lot.
Sign him up. And well, if he's going to be in your best bets, then you must really like him for you to lay any coin on for him for a chance to win the tournament.
To actually win a golf tournament, whew. I'm going
That's
out on
something.
A limb.
That's going saying out on something.
A limb. Maybe a twig.
Yeah, the lightest branch ever. Or
Hasn't won since 2016 Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it's brutal. But he is due, like you said. So maybe it'll happen this week. All right, so my next two guys are, and I hate doing this. Gosh dang, I really hate it when I load up on the same guy in DraftKings and the one and done pool at the same time. And it just, he just fits so perfectly into the balance of it. And I guess I gave a little bit of spoiler here, but give me Adam Scott at 8,400. He seems to play this course really well. I believe he's had 6 top 10s here or something like that over the course. He's only played once since the restart, came back for the PGA and finished T22 or something along those lines. And I remember earlier in the year at Riviera, he hadn't played since the Australian Open in November, early December, whenever it is. And I told myself, oh, Adam Scott, he'd been off for a month, 2 months. He's not going to be on any form. And so I didn't pick him at Riviera, and what do you know, he won the tournament. And so I don't think that he's a guy who needs to be playing a lot of tournaments to be in form. Played well at Harding Park and also has a great track record here for that price. I'm go ahead and sign me up.
Yeah, 4 top 10s for Adam Scott, 2 of those top 5s since 2010. At this golf course. So he likes TPC Boston for sure. Did you give one or two?
I only gave one. My next guy who is my, so I guess he'll be my second most expensive at 8,600. Another guy who played well here, finished the exact same as your Tony Finau did in 2018. Give me old Hideki.
At Harding Park, and he did pretty well.
He did all right. You know, Hideki. Okay. Hideki's just kind of he's kind of in that range of where he's not really in contention to win tournaments over the last few weeks. Since the restart, he missed the cut at RBC Heritage and the Memorial. But other than that, he's finished 22nd, 22nd, 21st, and 20th. So if he's made the cut, he's top 22, basically finished 20th every time. Very similar to your Finau. I don't necessarily think Hideki has a chance to win the tournament, but he also has a pretty good record here. I think he's finished top 25 every time, if maybe one other time he didn't finish the top 25.
The only time he didn't finish inside the top 25 was in his debut at this course in 2014. Since then, in 4 trips to TPC Boston, 25th, 15th, 23rd, 4th.
Sign me up. 8,600, yep. Pretty good price for me.
Pretty, pretty solid. So, did I already give you Tony Finau? I did.
Yes, you did.
So, let me give you my last two here. 9,000, Patrick Reed, defending champion of the Northern Trust, but it was on a different golf course. I think the fact that it was on a different golf course and the fact that there's no fans takes away the pressure of being the defending champion. You know, it's not like you're going back to Liberty National where you just won and you're trying to replicate that performance. I really like Patrick Reed this week. I think that he's got a good chance to win the golf tournament, at least contend at this golf course. 2015, 16, and 17, he finished 4th, 5th, and 6th. His other 3 trips here, he's made the cut all 3 times, so 6 for 6 in made cuts. Coming off a 9th place finish last week, 13th at Harding Park, starting to play some better golf, top 15s in 3 of his last 4 starts. So really like Patrick Reed at 9,000. So going to run him out this week. And then my most expensive player is a guy who has won on this course. Not once, not twice, Okay, we'll call it twice. One here in 2012 and one here in 2016. That is Rory McIlroy, another top five at TPC Boston. Finished 12th at TPC Boston in 2018. Likes this golf course. And quite frankly, Rory McIlroy is due to get his game on track. He gains so many strokes, tee to green on the field here. Let me see. Since at TPC Boston since 2015, Rory has gained an average of 5.2 strokes tee to green at TPC Boston. So if he gets the putter rolling at all, he's in contention on Sunday. Give me Rory.
That's a big if. Big if with Rory.
It's a big if.
It's a big if. So you can't ever go wrong with Rory. I picked Rory last week. Been like, it seems like every week he's right
two
around.
Two weeks ago.
I'm sorry. Yeah, damn sure didn't play last week. Yeah. He's just floating around the top 30 mark, really not really contending in tournaments. But for being a top, I'd say borderline top or worst case scenario, top three talented player in the world, I would say he's got to turn it around at some point. And so I'll go with my most expensive guy, who I believe is second most expensive on DraftKings. Rory is third. Most expensive is Justin Thomas, but I'm going to go with second. Give me Bill Bryson, who was not technically the defending champ, but won the last time that the tournament was held here. It wasn't Big Bryson then. And we've mentioned how much approach to green and matters here. And we look at the list of guys who contend and have good records here. They're all bombers, guys that can hit it far or for the most part. And so I think Bryson, with his newfound length, is going to be able to take advantage of this course. And I would be extremely shocked if he's not in the top 5 to 10 by the end of Sunday when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I like Bryson. He's obviously a big dog. I mean, we know what Bryson is. He hits it a mile. He loves it. So
yeah, there's really not much more to say. Everyone else, anytime he gets on the TV, his workout gets brought up, everything gets brought up, so that we don't have to talk about Bryson. Everyone else does it for us. So before we get on to some of your best bets, Kobe, I'll go through here and some of the other DraftKings guys that I like.
A couple guys I liked, and I just couldn't squeeze them in. Yeah, so
we'll kind of flip-flop of each other here. So scrolling down here, I mean, really, when you look at the top of it, you can really go a lot of different ways. Jason Day is a guy who's been playing well.
That's the first one I was going to say.
We kind of think he's getting back closer to that 2015 form at 9,300. That's a pretty good price.
You ready for his course history?
Of course.
Since 2010. So 2010 through 2018, second, third, 51st, 13th, 7th, 12th, 15th, 25th. Missed the cut in 2018. Obviously, that's when he was dealing with some of his worst back issues, not playing his best golf. But his last four starts on the PGA Tour, 7th, 4th, 6th, and 4th at TPC Harding Park. Playing really good golf, good course history. Again, another guy that I just couldn't quite squeeze in, but I really tried. I like Jason Day.
Yeah, that's a good pick there. Then, like I said, I'll ignore some of these other top guys, even, you know, like Shoffley's at 9,700 would be a pretty decent play. And then, let me see, scrolling down here, a guy who was just outside of my, when, because I was going to go with him instead of Adam Scott, but I couldn't fit him with that extra $100. Guy who played played really well 2 weeks ago at Harding Park, finished T2, and then made the cut last week, finished 31st. Paul Casey, who also has a pretty decent record here. He has finished, in his last three starts of this course, finished T21, T4th, and 2nd here. So that's pretty good track record there at for a pretty medium price at 8,500. That's not too bad there. A guy who we talked about finished 2nd here last year, but from what we've seen, he's such a hit or miss guy with Justin Rose at 8,000. I don't know if I would lean towards him. I think
I'm probably out on Rose for now.
Well, especially the guy that he's even priced with is Hatton, and I would definitely lean more towards Hatton than I would Rose. And how about this, Colby? I saw it earlier. What do you think about, I had Woodland at the 7,800 mark. Two other guys with him who are pretty big talking points on this show, Wolf and Spieth. Do you think any one of those guys have a decent chance? Spieth's played well the last couple of times he's played here.
Yeah, Spieth has a good course history. So he's missed the cut here once in six starts since 2013, but he's got two top five, 13 and 17. Finished 12th here in 2018. Another couple top 30. So he's played well here. Honestly, if I were to choose between those three guys this week, I think I'm leaning Wolf, not just because he's an Oklahoma State guy. I mean, he's played good golf since the restart. He's got a couple top fives since the restart, another 12th place finish. Missed a couple cuts early, but only one missed cut in his last six starts. And two top five mixed in there, another top 12. It seems like we're starting to get a little bit more consistency out of Matt Wolf. And with the way he strikes the ball, I think that he could have a good week. So I like Matt Wolf of those three at 78. I would rank those three: Wolf, Woodland, Spieth.
Yep. Switch Woodland and Wolf for me, and we're on the same page. I'm sticking away from Spieth until I can see him finish inside the top 10 on a weekend. And then going down here, another guy, 7,700. There's a lot of good guys you could either go with. Your Sung J.M. that you went with, Abraham Answers at 7,700 as well. A guy who I really wanted to pick, too, exact same price as Harris English, who I didn't, is Kevin Kisner, who over the last 3 weeks has finished 25th, 19th, and 3rd. So on pretty good form. So
what would you say to somebody who wanted to run Cameron Champ out this week?
He likes to, as we've seen, it's an approach gamers course. Finished 25th at Memphis, 10th at PGA, where he was the co-leader for a good amount of Sunday.
Only one missed cut since the restart in 6 events.
And he's a bomber. I would think he would be a good guy to run. I mean, that's just right around that range. There's a lot of good players in the mid 7,000s, which is why I think you have a lot of versatility here this week. And then even scrolling, like we mentioned, even Doc Redmond, 7,400, been playing so well. You picked Harold Varner last week. He's 7,400, over the last 2 weeks, finished T29 and T7. And another guy, I'm not necessarily rolling him out, but what do you think of Phil's chances this week, Colby? He has a pretty decent record here, 7,300, pretty cheap on DraftKings.
Yeah, he does. 3 top 10s here since 2011, only one missed cut here, going back all the way to 2008, a runner-up finish a few weeks ago in Memphis. I ran him out in Memphis. That was a no-cut event. I sure do love me some Phil at a no-cut event. I don't like having to sweat out whether he can make a birdie on the back nine on Friday. I'm probably out on Phil this week.
I think I am too. So I'll go down on some of the other guys I like. Guy who I really like, 7,100, Joe Damon. Finished 10th at the PGA Championship. We listened to, he filled in for Max Homa on the
Get a Grip podcast with, yes, Shane Bacon. Yep.
Yep. And he felt like he did a pretty good job there. Was very descriptive about his game. Seems like he's very confident in the direction he's headed.
One thing he said that was really interesting was that he always looks at the payouts on Sunday night, Monday morning, to see how much the birdie or bogey on 18 made or cost him.
Yes,
and that's pretty
interesting. And I guarantee he's not the only one that does that.
He said a ton of guys do that. He said the ones who really don't are the ones who don't notice if half a million or a million hits their bank account. They wouldn't even know.
And that's a very select few.
Very select few.
So, and I mean, even going down, Alex Noren at 7,100 has been playing well over the last 3 weeks. Finished T3, T9, T22. Can roll with him. Guy who has really good course record here. Emiliano Grillo has also made 3 straight cuts, I believe, and hasn't finished worse than, let me see here, in 3 start series, finished T7, 22nd, and 33rd. So that's pretty good. And then let me see here, go down to some value that we haven't mentioned. You already mentioned Kevin Na at 6,800, my Taylor Gooch at 6,500. Henrik Norlander at 6,600 has been playing pretty well as well. He didn't have a very good weekend last week, but was doing really well before then. And then let me count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that 6 or 7 straight cuts in a row? I think 6.
Let me throw something at you, a horses for courses maybe, and see what you think. Because if somebody wants to build cheap, if somebody wants a top heavy lineup, they're going to need some value cheap. Do you like Charlie Hoffman at all? He won at TPC Boston in 2010, finished 3rd at TPC Boston in 2015. Since then, missed cut 47th and 74th. So it's a very hit or miss with Charlie Hoffman. Since the restart, he's missed 3 cuts. He's got a 7th place finish, a 25th place finish, and a 41st place finish. Any love for a former TPC Boston champion and Charlie Hoffman?
Well, see, whenever you're going off of, when you're going down that low, a lot of times you have to go with comparison. So I look at some of the other guys around there. So obviously, I threw out a guy, 6,500, Taylor Gooch, who I would roster over Hoffman myself, just because, like you mentioned, such an iron striker's place. And then even if you have an extra $100, I like Norlander or even Mark Hubbard, who played pretty well last week at 6,600.
Hubbard's really been playing well for a while.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. He's been way under the radar. And then even down, I mentioned it last week, he kind of faltered on the weekend. But Tom Hoagie, who's came out, what did he shoot, 9 under or something on the first round?
Eight under, 62.
Yeah, his first round after playing with Tiger. So he had figured something out and had finished 27. He's made 3 cuts in a row at 6,400. And then another guy at 6,500, Patrick Rogers, who, let me see here, he's made 4 cuts in a row and was able to squeak in. He needs a pretty good week this week to keep on going. Cohen. Those are all guys around that range who I would roster over Hoffman. But like you said, he is a horses for courses guy. And last guy before we move on to some of your best bets, Colby, 6,300. We've given him out almost every week. Tyler Duncan finished T13 last week. So
only one missed cut since the restart, and I believe he's made 8 starts.
And only missed cut was in a major championship.
Yes.
So so obviously this is a very higher caliber field, but at the same time, this is a guy that we know that can get you to the weekend. So really, Colby, from what we've seen there, you got a lot of versatility this weekend. I think you got a lot of guys who either have good course record here or are on pretty decent form, and it'd be really interesting to see how it plays out and who's able to kind of lead the pack in this horse race that we have.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's go ahead and move on to some best bets, and everybody knows what my absolute best bet is, and that's McRae Roofing. You just can't go wrong. That's not even a bet. You're not gambling. You know exactly what you're getting. You're getting the absolute best quality every single time with McRae Roofing. Give them a call today at 405-692-4000 or visit them online at mcraeroofing.com. They will create you a beautiful roof that brings out the beauty of your home and its surroundings, a beauty that will last for years to come. Again, it's 405-692-4000 or visit them online at mcraeroofing.com. McRae Roofing, that is absolutely a best bet. Now, my golfers that I'm going with this week, running them out, I'm playing 5 golfers this week, putting 10 on 4 and then 20 on 1. The guy I'm putting 20 on is Rory McIlroy. Obviously, his odds aren't nearly as good, so to get those winnings up near where these other guys will be, I'm going to go ahead and double the 10, put 20 on Rory. I've got him at 14-1. Pretty decent.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, for
a guy who has good track record here and is, like I mentioned, bottom line, top 3 talented player in the world.
So. Yeah, and can win any week he makes putts, he has a chance to win. So,
by multiple strokes.
Yes, by multiple strokes. He could. I mean, Rory is one of the few guys on tour who's capable of you just kicking your feet up on Sunday and watching your bet just kind of ease its way to the finish line because he's so far out in front of the field. So I liked Rory at 14-1. My next best odds, I'm going with a little bit longer shots. I avoided a lot of those guys in the teens and 20s-1, and I skipped right on ahead. Tony Finau, where he be now? He'd be at 33-1, putting 10 on him at 33-1. He's going to win eventually, right?
You say it every week, Colby. You know
he's going to win eventually, right?
You know you're just throwing that $10 in the toilet and flushing it. You know that's what you're doing. You know it. Just like I knew Ricky was going to miss cut PGA. You know it.
But when it happens, I'm going to be on it.
Well,
I'm ready.
You will have thrown $10 in the damn toilet 5,000 times before he wins. So when you'll still be in the red.
Yeah, I mean, if he's like 33-1 every week, then I would have to lose $10 on him 33 times to actually come out negative before I hit him as a winner. Well, this is assuming he eventually wins a PGA Tour event.
Yeah, exactly. And considering you haven't bet him a whole lot of times, but I know at least one other time that you've bet him. So you already are in the negative on him at some point. So you got a few more tournaments to go at $10, 33-1, but you're approaching it.
By the way, quick update on Brooks Koepka. This just came through that the U.S. Open is, quote, in doubt. So
that's kind of, I mean, we were kind of hitting on it earlier in the show, where it's not necessarily it could be precautionary, but it's not a guarantee that he plays anymore the rest of this year. We don't know necessarily how bad it is. And for us two guys who were saving him in our one and done pools at Wingfoot, besides in Memphis, it wouldn't have been profitable to use him any other place, so it doesn't really matter. But at the same time, for a top 5 player in the world to not play the rest of the year is a pretty big storyline.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So just want to give a quick update there. My next bet this week, my best bet, this is just a rule I have that every week Tiger plays, I'm gonna run out 10 on Tiger because if he wins number 83, I'm going to be on it. So you don't have to play that one if you don't want to. If you're as big of a Tiger fan as I am, you're welcome to it. He's 40-1 this week.
And also has a pretty good record here.
Fairly,
I mean, obviously, he's played here almost every year that the event has been held. I'm looking at it here. It looks like he has 5 top 10s in his career here, and I know he's won here at least twice, I believe, maybe 3 times, I think, but I may be wrong on that. But I know he's won here at least twice.
Yeah, so I'm running Tiger out at 40-1, pretty good odds there, through 10 on him. And then at 50-1, I'm going to run out Victor Hovland this week. So I've got 2 guys on my list who have 1 tour win, and it's the Puerto Rico Open. So
you are betting on the curse being broken this week.
I am betting on the curse being broken. I love, love, love Victor Hovland's game tee to green. It is so good. So, so good. And if he can gain, you know, 5-6 strokes on the field this week, tee to green, he'll have a great chance to win a golf tournament.
What about when he's around the green, Colby? Do you like him much when he's there?
No, I would much prefer him hit the green in regulation. I would much prefer not having to watch Victor Hovland chip at all. If he has to chip, let's see, 72 holes. I'd say he needs to hit probably 65 greens in regulation.
Maybe 67.
Maybe 67. I'm just go Abraham Answer at Harbortown on us. Of course, that wouldn't do me any good because, you know, Reese Bobby says there's nothing wrong with silver, but whenever you're betting a winner, there's absolutely everything wrong
with silver. Yes, and I'm looking back on here. Tiger has actually only won it once. He won it back in 2006.
Oh, he's only won it once?
Uh-huh. What a bum. Well, it started in 2003, and who is the winner? Adam Scott, who I have in DraftKings and one and done. The only two multiple winners here are VJ in 2004 and 2008, and Rory, who you have met.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So another guy, I actually have this guy in my DraftKings. I think his price is way too low for how good he was playing pre-restart, because I think he's just now figuring his game out post-restart. I just can't not play Sungjae Im at 66-1.
That is a lot of
66-1 is long odds for a guy who can hit it as well as he can.
And as we saw it, I mean, he was so consistent. He hasn't had it necessarily since the break. And you just never know how the quarantine could affect any of these players. Who knows how they were handling it, how they weren't. And to see what we saw last week, seems like he gained a little bit of form together.
Eight strokes tee to green last week, finished top 10.
That's pretty crazy. That's pretty insane.
And he's 66-1 this week.
And if he was 30-1, I probably wouldn't bet him.
No, I wouldn't either.
66-1, you have to.
Yeah.
For 10 bucks, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 66-1 was just jumping off the page at me. So those are my five this week. Rory, Tiger, Victor Hovland, Sungjae Im, and Tony Finau. So I loaded up on Finau this week. This is... I'm very, very emotionally invested in what Tony Finau does this week.
Yeah, I'm about to say this is pretty intense for you, Colby. Like yes. I said, you don't talk a lot of smack. Talk a little smack on Finau, not as much as I do on Fowler, but you do talk a little smack. So if we come in on Monday and Finau has a miscut, we're going to have to hear it from you.
Well, yes, absolutely. Especially if he misses the cut by one because he missed a 5-inch tap in. That would be
the odds of that are probably pretty high because a lot of players do that.
A lot of players do that. It happens regularly, especially at major championships where the stakes are low and guys aren't really focused.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And look.
Oh, man. Just one of the worst mistakes I've ever seen at any level of golf. So where are we at now? That's my best bet. So we need to get one and done picks.
One and done picks, yep.
Yeah. You want to lead us off? Let's start on the website with our season-long one and done pool. Most people know, we'll repeat it for those who don't. We got two one and done pools going. Our season-long pool, which is on a website, we do it all every week. So that started actually at Hawaii earlier this year. And then we decided after the restart that we would do a one and done pool running through the Masters here on the podcast, just between you and I, I believe we've got Canes on it. And I think I'm already down maybe one Canes. Maybe two Canes.
You made up on one of them. I think I'm only owed one now.
Yeah, no, so. I did. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I made up on them. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's start on the website. Give me one of your two on the website.
I'll keep it simple. I like to go with both in each if I can. There's a few golfers coming down the stretch who I will use earlier in the earlier pool, but I'll stick to it when I can. I've already mentioned that I have him. Give me Adam Scott. I mean, some guy, he's played so well at this course, and he's not a guy who, as we've seen, he won after taking 2 months off at Riviera, came back after how long of a layoff from the quarantine, finished top 25 in a major championship. I'm just going to roll him out, and I'm feeling pretty confident in it, honestly. The only reason I'm not confident in Adam Scott is the fact that I have him in both of these one-and-done pools and on DraftKings, which is normally a kiss of death.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think that's bad, I've got Tony Finau on DraftKings, I've got him on my best bets, and I've got him in both one-and-done pools.
Oh!
Tony Finau!
Wow, bro. Woo! Man.
Let's go. Tony Finau.
Both one and done pools, too.
Coming big. I got a lot of eggs in the Tony Finau basket this week.
Two one and done pools, DraftKings, and you're betting him. So four, you got.
That's basically everything that I have.
I don't think there's anything else to be done.
Unless
you did multiple DraftKings lineups and did them in every single one of them.
Yeah, which I probably would, because he's probably going to win this week.
I mean, he has such a good track record at winning, so I think you nailed it right there.
Yes, I mean, basically, he's going to go all 2016 Puerto Rican Open on their asses.
Yeah.
What was the strength of field at the 2016 Puerto Rico Open? Probably similar to what it'll be this week at TBC Boston.
Yeah, not too much different, yeah. No.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger, Rory, JT, DJ, all these guys usually play Puerto Rico.
Yeah, and they probably did that year, too. Yeah, that strength of field is probably like a 12 or something like that.
It was probably, I know that Colin Morikawa's first win was a 26 at the Barracuda. I would imagine that the Puerto Rico Open has very similar strength of field, somewhere in the double digits.
Well, the Northern Trust this week has a strength of field of 814. So that
not
was
bad.
That's right. Isn't that pretty much what it was at the Memorial this year? Like almost the exact same?
Very close, yeah.
Yeah, just a little over 800. So
pretty close to what it was at the PGA, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that has more people in it than this one. And so this is just going to be a loaded field. And so, I mean, obviously you get the top 125 of the guys who have had played the best on tour this year. You're going to get a pretty stacked field. But as we saw, 814, I think that's good. And who's your other one and done pick, Colby, besides Finau?
So my other one and done pick, so on the website, because I have to use different guys because I've run out of guys on the website. So on the website, I'm using Patrick Reed this week, defending Northern Trust champion, but it was at a different golf course. And my options that I had, I actually considered Adam Scott. Really glad I didn't use him now since you went ahead and ran him out. But other guys are guys that I'm saving. I've still got Rahm. I've still got JT, Rory, Bryson. Obviously, Brooks withdrew this week. I've still got Tiger available, Tyrrell Hatton, some of those guys. I'm saving some of those guys. So I still want some dogs for the home stretch to try to make up some ground late. So I'm running out Tony Finau and Patrick Reed this week on the website. And then for the podcast.
Oh, no. I was looking up Tony Finau's strength of field, and I just heard your pick, your one-and-done pick, which is not good. But the strength of field for Tony Finau's win was a very hefty 37.
37. Okay, so 814 would be better then.
Yeah, 814 minus 37 is what, 787? Yeah, something like that.
77.
Close enough, yeah. So, hey, 777. That's jackpot.
Bingo.
That's a sign.
Bingo. Yes. I feel better about it.
There you go.
All right. Going back in right now, logging back in to wager more money on Tony Finau.
Oh, God. Now you ruined it. The jackpot went on.
Tony Finau. And then for the podcast, I'm running out Paul Casey this week.
Okay. Paul Casey. Yep. Good pick. And
Paul Striking Machine.
And for both of them, I'm running out Reed as well. So
really?
Yep.
I hate that.
I know. I do too.
I just hate it a lot.
Yeah. I already had it. I can't change it. I don't want to change it. Anytime you do a last minute change, it always works out in your favor. So
I don't like it because I really need dollars on the website pool. And so I'm going to have to root for Patrick Reed, but I'm behind you by about 1.4 million on our podcast pool. And I don't have Reed there because I used him last week. He got me like 168K or something like that. So if he wins, obviously it'd be great for me on the website, but then I'll fall another 1.5 million behind you on the podcast
and that'd
pool.
That'd be too bad. So sad for you.
But I mean, it really is a moot point because Tony Finau is going to grab the trophy this week.
Man,
I'm just leaning into it.
You are setting yourself up almost as bad as I did for Ricky.
100%.
If he doesn't do well.
100%.
So, I mean, so we will either be giving you the biggest praise on Monday, or we'll be hearing a 5 to 10 minute monologue on your stupidity.
But you can't be somewhat into a guy like Tony Finau. If you're going in on Tony Finau, then you just got to go in. It's like we talked about earlier with the pool. You're going to dip your toe in, or you're going to dive in head first. Let's dive in head first on Tony Finau and just roster him everywhere.
And hopefully it works out in your favor. Hopefully for me, it doesn't, because I'm competing against you in a lot of those formats. But I like Finau, and I hope that he breaks through soon eventually, because I think he's got the talent to do it. And once he's able to get through that first win, or I say first win, it would feel like his first win hurdle, getting through a strength of field more than of 37.
It'd basically be his first win.
Exactly. I think it'll open the floodgates for him, and I think that's something that I think will happen eventually. It's just a matter of when, and hopefully you haven't bet him too many times before it eventually does, so you're not in the negative.
Bingo.
When he does win.
It's an investment.
Exactly.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
Shall we, before we get out of here, take a look at the FedEx Cup standings?
Let's look at some of the
big names that are outside who are going to try to get in this week.
I know one guy outside of the top 125 or outside of the top 70 who will not be making it, and that's Koepka.
That is Brooks Koepka, currently at 97th. So that's one less guy that Taylor Gooch has to worry about taking his spot in the top 70. Lowry at 122.
I'm pretty sure there's not an alternate list for this, is there? There's not.
No.
There's not. I was about to say, there's not.
Nobody's getting in. They don't let 126 in. If you're not in the 125, sorry.
You're screwed.
Yep. Tough luck. Shane Lowry just got in by playing well enough last week at the Wyndham. He's at 122, obviously the current Open champion. He'll be the Open champion for 2 years, so congrats to Shane Lowry on that. That's a big name there. Looking for other big names here. Justin Rose is at 109 right now. I mean, 109?
We talked about how hit or miss he's been this year, and I mean, if he finishes solo second like he did last year, he's going to move up. That won't be a problem. But yeah, I would. He's going to need a pretty good finish. I don't know what exact finish he'll need to make it happen. But yeah, he's going to need something good, and he's going to need guys in front of him to not do well as well, or guys that are behind. If he has any people that are behind him, I mean, 109. There's only 15 people or 16 people that are behind him. So if any of those guys won, they would jump him, obviously, if they do better than him. But yeah, he definitely needs a strong finish, and he needs some other guys not to play well as well to make it to Olympia Fields.
Yeah, definitely. Zach Johnson, multiple-time major champion. He sits at 104.
And he played pretty well last week, too, to get up there. He finished like seventh or something like that.
Yeah, he played really well to get inside the top 125. How about three guys at 98, 99, and 100? Brant Snedeker, Louis Oosthuizen, and Jordan Spieth. By the way, did you know that Snedeker has almost as many PGA Tour wins as Spieth?
That doesn't surprise me. Snedeker's been around a long time, and he's been out there for almost 20 years
now. How many wins would you guess Snedeker has?
Eight?
Nine wins for Snedeker. He's won a couple times at Torrey. He's got a win at Pebble. Shot played 59. Well in California. Yeah, yeah. So, Brant Snedeker, great career. And then Louis Oosthuizen at 99, Spieth at 100. Those are names right there that are outside the top. If I had to put you on the spot right now, and I told you that on Monday, one of those three got inside the top 70, which one would it be? Snedeker, Oosthuizen, or Spieth?
God, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I think I'd have to go with Spieth just because of the fact that he's played well here over the last couple of years, especially, and has played pretty well here. Those other guys, you know, I don't have a
whole... Oosthuizen's got a second, a 12th, an 8th, a 30th, and a 31st in five appearances at TPC Boston.
So he finished 6th at FedEx
at Memphis,
and 33rd at the PGA Championship. So yeah, he plays well, and he normally does pretty well once the playoffs start too. You see that with a lot of guys where they you know, it's not necessarily the tournament, but a lot of times it's the type of or the time of year or the type of season that it is where players will play well. So Louis tends to play, as we just seen, he plays well there, and I pulled up his Northern Trust results, which is technically what this tournament is, not the same course, but he's done well in this quote-unquote tournament, the title of this tournament. So he would be a good guy to pick too. It's just I don't know, I think Spieth is just one of those guys where, like, kind of like we talked about, where we have to see it out of different form. But if I had to choose out of those three guys, he'd be the one, just because I think that Louis, he would probably prefer to just go back to his farm.
I would go Louis. Yeah. Out of those three, I'd go. That iron swing, oh baby.
Oh, it gives me a hard on every time I watch it. But that doesn't mean he plays well. Ricky has a good putting stroke. Doesn't mean it goes in every time.
Speaking of Ricky, let's go down and look at another couple names. 88 and 89 are Ricky Fowler and Tommy Fleetwood. Same question. Who gets inside the top 70?
Fleetwood for sure. And
Ricky Fowler, defending champ at TPC Boston? Where's your love for your guy?
Defending champ.
Former champ.
I was like, wait, what? Did I miss a year here? Okay,
one
that
here
makes
in 2015.
Sense. Yeah, no. Ricky ain't been defending champion in some time. But no, I think Fleetwood's going to play well if I had to bet. If you include those, all five of those names you mentioned, Fleetwood would be at the top. I know he's 89. The other guys were 98, 99, and all that. But I think Fleetwood's going to play good this week, and I think he's going to get to Olympia Fields. But these are all kind of gut-feeling things, and obviously I have a kind of a gut-wrenching feeling for Ricky right now. After the way he treated, it's going to be a while.
It's going to take some time.
It's going to take a lot of time. A lot of time.
Time heals all wounds, but it's going to take some more time for this one.
This is a serious deep wound, and time is moving a lot slower here than it does. Very similar to, if you ever seen the movie Interstellar, very similar to that as well.
I have not, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Albert Einstein, too, you could look it up. It's pretty fascinating stuff.
Albert Einstein, never heard of her.
she was very intelligent.
Another Oklahoma State Cowboy, Alex Noren, sits at 78 currently, 10 spots above Ricky Fowler. So he's been playing pretty good golf lately.
Yeah, I mentioned him and a guy on DraftKings that we like for the value. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays well too. But at bottom line, you know, if you have some more guys to list, definitely shout them out. But it's going to be an intense Sunday to see these guys in the 65 to 75 range, who's going to end up where, because I mean, like we mentioned last week, the Wyndham seemed like it was a little lackluster comparatively in years to who's going to finish 124, 125, 126. I think we're going to make up for that this week. I think it's going to be an intense battle. And another guy who's right above the line at our favorite number, 69, friend of the show, Caddy Scott Tway, Brian Harmon at 69. So he needs a nice week out there to make sure he's able to get to Olympia Field. So yeah, there's a lot riding online. Phil at 67, so he needs a pretty good week. Bubba at 66,
yeah. And Chucky 36 at 64, another Oklahoma State Cowboy, two spots behind another Oklahoma State Cowboy, Taylor Gooch, and they've got Matt Kuchar sandwiched in between them at 63. So those are some more really big names. Paul Casey's only at 55. You know, 55 isn't exactly safe. Matthew Fitzpatrick's at 51. Tiger is at 49. These are guys. Once you get to around 50. I feel like, you know, Tiger, Fitzpatrick, Jason Day at 45, I feel like those guys just have to make the cut and they're probably safe. But if one of those guys were to miss the cut, I bet they'd be sweating it.
Well, I think once you get down to that low, I don't think it's necessarily the worry of them missing Olympia as much as it is them having a lot harder time to get to East Lake.
Getting down to 65, and then you've got a top three at East Lake to get... Or at Olympia Fields to get to East Lake.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that would be... I don't know exactly what point cutoff it would take to where you're officially secure to go on to be in the top 70. But for a lot of those guys, like you mentioned, who are in between the 50 to 60 range, it's going to depend on how the guys below them play this week. Because if they have good weeks or someone goes out there and wins, like it was either the first... It was one of the first few years that they started the PGA Tour playoffs. Heath Slocum was like 124th on the list and ended up winning the very first event and moved up to third or fourth or something like that. So we've seen it happen before where guys can come out of the woodworks to vault themselves up into the FedEx Cup race. And so I think that it's going to be really dependent on how the lower guys play, on how it influences the higher tier guys even more so than the vice versa opposite of that, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun week. I'm glad the playoffs are here. Been a long time coming. We got some good golf. Had a major championship 2 weeks ago. Playoffs are getting underway. We've got, should have at least two consecutive weeks of Tiger Woods. If he makes it to East Lake, we'll get three consecutive weeks of Tiger Woods and four out of five because we got the U.S. Open coming up at Wingfoot middle of September. So a lot of good golf on the horizon, Taylor. Looking forward to it.
The next month is just going to be fabulous worth of golf. And if Tiger is able to play that much golf like we all want him to, we all want to see it. Just
83. 83.
Hopefully it comes somewhere in between there, and hopefully too, his body is just able to stay healthy, and that he's not having to. He plays East Lake with a hurt knee, and then has to withdraw, and then withdraws from the U.S. Open or something stupid like that. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But yes, we want as much Tiger as we can get, the better for sure.
Absolutely, looking forward to watching Tiger over the next few weeks. And speaking of good golf, by the way, get down to Bushwood in Chickasha. Weather is fantastic coming up. Having a lot of weather in the 80s over the next few weeks. So get on down to Bushwood Golf and Country Club in Chickasha, 405-224-1250. Give them a call. Get your tee time set up. Max Stewart, new owner, has done great, great things down there. So give them a call. Get your tee time set up. Play some good golf at Bushwood. Thanks for listening. We are back Monday. Hopefully we have a good couple days at the Oklahoma Open. And we're looking forward to recapping the Northern Trust. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Thanks for listening to the 73rd Hole.